January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and today is 25th. Ah! Father Lord, are you still there? He's there. He is there. He can be trusted. Hallelujah. Shall we bring out our Bibles as we read? Are we all there? We read from verse 1 to 6, then from 11, we stop. Then we'll continue later as the message goes on. Can we all read together? One, two, go. Now a certain man, sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, town of Mary and her sister Martha, that which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. He had heard therefore that he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Let's jump to verse 11. This thing said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him up out of sleep. Then said his disciple, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. To the intent, ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, 50 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went, met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Let's hold on, let's pause there, we will continue later. Father Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Daddy, we give you praise this morning. Daddy, because the entrance of your bringing light, oh Lord. Daddy, you're about to bring light into people's lives this morning through your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Father Lord, I say stand here, Father Lord, to speak your word, oh Lord. Less of me here and more of you. Amen. Speak through me what you want your people to hear in your word in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, from the scripture we heard, we all know this story very well, familiar with it. We've read it all over and over. I think I knew right from my primary school, secondary school. No, primary school, Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. So that prompted us to go back and read the story. And it was an interesting story. We wanted to read it over and over again. But, you know, something God dropped in my spirit while I was doing this study is that he wants to show us something from this word. Praise the Lord. Like I said earlier, what we are talking about today is God can be trusted. God can be trusted. I myself, I'm standing here, I am trusting God, because when the word came, I was just saying, Father, Lord, have mercy. Then the next I said, God can be trusted, God can be trusted, God can be, and the word started coming. Now, I will look for my message Bible about this story. We will look at it. In verse 4, when Jesus got the message, he said, this sickness, I'm reading the message translation, is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. Now, you might be going through some condition in your life, you might be going through some challenges, and you are looking at all your aspiration, expectation. You fasted in January 1st, you did 21 days, and yet you are still expecting your prayers to be answered. He's still holding on, and what is happening? And you are beginning to give up gradually. But you are there, but you are beginning to give up. One mind is out, one mind is in. 50-50. Tell them, Bashi, fine. Tell Bashi, I carry over. But what I want to understand this morning is that challenges you are going through, that condition you are, is for a purpose. Praise the Lord. God wants to use what you are going through to reach the people around you. He wants to use that as a springboard to speak to somebody around you. Praise the Lord. God wants to use the condition or the situation around you at the moment, maybe to minister to your families, your circle of friends, your colleagues in the offices. Maybe you have spoken to them, you've told them about the word of God, yet They do not believe. Maybe they can't see the evidence of God in your life, or evidence of what God, or the goodness of God in your life. Hold on there. Hanging on, my brother, my sister, because God is about to do something. In verse 4, he says, when he got there, this sickness is not fatal. When he says fatal, he said it's not leading to death. Your condition will not kill you. Your condition will not kill you. That challenge will not kill you. Praise the Lord. Let me even ask a question. Is there anybody in the house this morning whose condition is worse than Lazarus' own? It was just read. Nobody. Then, small. There's hope for you. Praise the Lord. So, he told his disciples, don't worry, God is about to glorify his name. Now, in verse 20, let's move on to verse 20. Sorry, 21. When Martha went to meet Jesus, Martha said, Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Praise the Lord. She said, Jesus has already come. And you are saying, Jesus, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Verse 22, he said, even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. And Jesus said, your brother will rise up again. She said, in verse 24, Martha replied, I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end of the time. Let's pause there. You know, she was overwhelmed by the death of her brother. Yes. It was a loss for her. And she was grieving, and she was so sorrowful that she could not even recognize the presence of who the real Christ is. She saw Jesus, but she does not recognize the Christ in him. Praise the Lord. Because when Jesus appears on the scene in your condition, his appearance alone, you know, yes, there's a solution. Praise the Lord. And she still said, Master, if you had been here, praise the Lord. And like mommy do tell us something. He said, if God gives us a blank check, some of us will not even know what to ask from God. Jesus was in our presence. She did not even know what to ask for Jesus from Jesus. She would have said, Master, you are here. Come and raise up my brother. Praise the Lord. Even we are in some condition that we are so pressed that we cannot even pray that moment. Is anybody like that here? You'll be so pressed, that situation or that condition will be over you like a luggage that even to pray, you cannot mutter the words. You are lost in deep thoughts. Everything is before you. You say, my God, what is happening? You are doing your permutation, your calculation. You are looking at the time, 5 weeks to go. Ah, hey, this one, the school fees is here. That visa I'm chasing. That man has not proposed. That business. That property I want to acquire. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But what do we do in that kind of condition? In that state where there is fog, we call it, there's a word we use for, war fog. You can't see clearly. You can't even think right. Because everything around you seems not to be right at that moment. Praise the Lord. But the Bible tells us in the book of Romans 8, 26, 27, when we don't know what to pray in a particular situation, what do we do? Let's open our Bibles to Romans 8, 26 to 27, and hear what the Lord has to say in his word. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Praise the Lord. With what? With groanings. In the book of Samuel, when Anna went to the temple, her situation was so enormous that she could not even find the right word to pray. She was just groaning. And the prophet thought she was a drunk person because I'm sure he couldn't hear what she was saying. Praise the Lord. That is the stage at which our condition was, our challenges was. Praise the Lord. But in that condition, when you think you cannot pray, just speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. And the Spirit of God, he knows what you are going through. It will help your infirmity. It will strengthen your inner person to pray. Praise the Lord. And verse 27 said, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You will say, Father, I don't know what is before me. But thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. But Martha, in this case, she could not. Even Jesus was before her, she was still complaining. If you had come, you wouldn't have died. If you were here 4 days ago. Praise the Lord. And many of us are like that. Praise the Lord. Many of us are in that category. Healing is here. The man at the pool of Bethesda, he said, when Jesus came, Jesus asked him, what do you want? He said, if only that nobody could help him. But whenever he tries to get into the pool, somebody gets there before him. He has been here for 38 years. Nobody to help him. I mean, while Jesus was here. On the other hand, blind Bartimaeus, he perceived that Jesus was passing. And he yelled out, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Praise the Lord. You can see two different scenarios. A lot of us are in that condition right now. I don't know who that person is, but God is telling me to tell you that he might be 4 days late, but he's here right now to talk to you. Enough of the complaint. Enough of the lamentation. I did 21 days faithfully. January 1st, I was in church. I waited. First fruits. 21 days. And yet nothing. Let's move on. Verse 23. Jesus said, your brother will rise up again. Will be raised up. 24. Martha replied, I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end. You see, Martha believed in Jesus. She had faith. But her faith was weak. Praise the Lord. The weakness of her faith limited the power of Jesus Christ at that moment. Praise the Lord. You see, when your faith is weak, you are limiting the power of God to work in your life. When you look at your condition and you look at your situation, your challenges, you pay more attention, you're giving more focus than Jesus. Honestly speaking, your faith is weak. Peter told his master, I said, if you are the one, come unto me. When they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter got down from the boat and he was walking towards Jesus. His faith was so strong. What kind of faith is that? And suddenly the boisterous wind came. The challenges of life, the bills, the targets, the rent. And what happened to Peter? He took his eyes off Jesus. When he did that, what happened to him? He began to sink. A lot of us like that. From the beginning of the year, Jesus, oh yes, you started speaking in tongues. Yes, you are energized. But it came, this worry government, this one, that, the small importation I'm doing, you cannot even do this one, that one, this, no contract, nothing. And gradually, you begin to take your eyes off Jesus. You still come to church on Sunday, please, don't get me wrong. You are still regular in church. But when the man of God or the woman of God is preaching, you are far away. Alice in the Wonderland. You are dreaming. You are thinking about your challenges. Calculating. If only that contract comes through. That money. You have written how you will spend the money. That visa. I can't wait to leave this country. I'm tired. That exam. That promotion. Praise the Lord. All of this does one thing. It weakens our faith. Because a lot of Christians fall under this category. But what I want to understand is, God just required one thing from us. He said, if only our faith can be as little as the mustard seed. A mustard seed is not up to a grain of rice. He just needs that small faith. See, we know Jesus. Yes, a lot of us know Jesus. We read his word. We hear his word. But how many of us believe in the word of God? See, in the light of God's word, you see, when you believe in the word of God, you will apply it to your situation. No matter what you are going through, you will not speak what you are saying. You will speak what you want. You will be as it is written. Praise the Lord. As it is written. Martha knows Jesus. Jesus comes to their house. He speaks to them. They hear the word of God. They relate to him. She prepares the food Jesus eats whenever he comes around. They are familiar with him. But yet, because of the death of Lazarus, she stopped believing in Jesus. Don't get me wrong. She knows him. She believes him. She listens to him. But her belief in Jesus had gone. That's why she could say, if you had come, When they sent word to Jesus in the beginning in verse 3 that Lazarus is sick, what they could have done is send your word to heal him. Like the centurion officer, what did he say? He said, don't have to come. Just speak the word. Praise the Lord. Verse 25. He says, Jesus answered, said, you don't have to wait for the hand. I am right now. I am here right now. I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. Praise the Lord. Jesus is here at this moment. And he's telling somebody here in this house this morning that you don't have to wait till the end of the year. I am here. He is ready to do that thing for you. Just have that belief, that faith, that little faith. Take your eyes off your challenges for once. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, according to Hebrews 12, verse 2. Say, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It might not look like what you think or what you want or what you desire. Your permutation, your calculation might not be going towards that direction. You might be solving trigonometry and seeing the answer of algebra. Where did it come from? But let me tell you, God does not need all your calculation or your maths. All he needs from you is just to keep your eyes focused on him. Place your gaze on Jesus. Place your gaze on Jesus. Have that faith, unwavering faith. And believe me, it will come true for you. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Now I'm jumping. Let's move on to verse 31. When our sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was waiting and fell at his feet, saying, Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary again, the one that listened to Jesus most, when Martha is busy preparing all the foods, getting the things ready, Mary's at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of Jesus. Even Mary's faith in Jesus was weak. Now, let us be human here. You see, there are some situations you find yourself. Okay, let me put this example. Somebody that is or alone has been thrown out by landlord and has nowhere to go, and you're coming to preach Christ to that person. Would that person listen to you? Praise the Lord. You just lost your house. Or maybe Hamcon comes, like a story of somebody that worked in the bank and he bought a house in an estate, and the man is now in his 60s. The business he did, everything packed up, and he was owing the bank, and they came after him. Hamcon came after him. They threw the man out. Sold the house, I gave him his change. Where did the man want to start from? At what age? 60. All the odds he has done from his youthful age at 67. Where does he want to start from? Who will employ that kind of man? And no, let's be real. Let's be real. That moment, that man will not think of Jesus. Praise the Lord. This is Mary and Martha, the friends of Jesus. Mary said, Master, she too, she joined the bandwagon. Master, if you had been here, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus was so moved, the tears of everybody. In verse 40, Jesus looked high in the eyes. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Now, verse 41 says, they said, then go to the others, go ahead, take away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven. No, before I get there, I want to emphasize on something. Now, verse 37, others among them said, well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man. Then, verse 39, Jesus said, remove the stone. The sister of the dead, Martha, said, Master, by this time there is a stench, and he's been dead 4 days. Praise the Lord. And a fast was declared. Go and wait on the Lord. And people say, I will walk on your car, but you don't share by. They are telling you to go and fast. With everything before you, those people are wicked, though. They are telling you to go and fast. You lost this, you lost your child, you lost everything. Or maybe you went somewhere and said, go and praise the Lord. Just go and be thanking God. Thanking God in this condition where I have a loss, we have lost something so precious to me. It might not be a human life. It might be something so precious to you. It might be a business. It might be a job. Maybe you have been vying for this visa, this scholarship, this admission. Something so dear to you that you've invested so much of your time, your energy, your finances. And at the end of the day, they say, we are sorry, you have been denied. We are sorry, you are not qualified. And somebody keeps saying, oh, you were denied that visa. And they didn't give you that job. Go and thank God. Does it make sense? Praise the Lord. Now, one thing I expected from them when I was reading, I was picturing what the event was for them to say, Master, if you insist, at least, okay, go ahead. Let's go there. They were even trying to discourage Jesus from opening. They said it would be smelling. 4 days, the body would have gone. My God, this and that. Unlike Simon Peter, in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, when he was on the sea fishing, they toiled all night, they caught nothing. When Jesus came on board, he said, cast thy net. He said, go down into the sea and cast thy net. He said, Master, we have toiled all night. The fishes don't sleep in the water at night. They come up and we couldn't catch anything. Now in the morning, they've gone down. Our net cannot even get to the bottom of the sea. And I tell you, but he says something, but I thy word. That is the kind of faith Jesus Christ is looking for this morning. That is the mustard seed of faith. No matter what you are going through at this moment, if only you could say, Jesus, I thy word. Jesus, I thy word. At thy word, I will take away the stone. I thy word, I will praise you. I thy word, I will pray. I thy word, I will seek your face. Praise the Lord. In Ezekiel 37, verse 3 to 4, when the prophet was in a vision, and he said that the Spirit of the Lord took him to a mountain, a valley of dry bones, and the Lord asked him, can this bone live again? He said, do you know what he said? Can these bones live again? This is a dry bone. They are dead. The skin is gone. It's just the bones. What was the answer of Ezekiel? He said, that knoweth Lord. You see, your answer at that matter is very crucial. He did not say, God, this one is beyond repair. He said, that knoweth, O Lord. That knoweth. And God said, speak to the dry bone. I said, you dry bone, yea, dry bone, hear the word of the Lord. So you are going to say to your condition, you long outstanding condition, hear the word of the Lord this morning. You are going to speak the word of God. Praise the Lord. You see, the word of God says in the book of Proverbs 23, verse 18, it says, for surely there is an end, and an expectation shall not be cut short. You see, God has a plan for us, a very wonderful plan. Praise the Lord. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, said, for the thought I have towards you is of good. I have good intentions for you, not of evil, to give you an expected end. A well-packaged, furnished, garnished, well-garnished, well-prepared end. Praise the Lord. Don't allow what is before you. And don't allow the timing of others. Please, 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 you are not in a race with anybody. Don't get into a race with anybody. Please. Your timing is different. Don't say, you did it for this person. All my friends are getting married. Well, God, when is my turn? 2019 is going again. Yeah, all my friends are getting admission into universities. My friends are starting businesses. They are buying their cars. They are building their houses. Please, please, don't get into a race with anyone. You are not in a race. The word of God should be the finality of all your thoughts. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut short. The expectation of the righteous, of the believer, will not be cut short. Praise the Lord. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Now, let's move on. Then 41, then to the others, go ahead, take away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I am grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen. But on account of this crowd standing here, I have spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. Verse 43. Then he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out.
And but 44, what happened? He said, and it came out a cadaver, a dead body, wrapped from head to toe with a handkerchief over his face. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him loose. And verse 45, that was a turnaround for many of the Jews. God will use your condition, your story, to turn around the life of people around you in the mighty name of Jesus. See, and that was a turnaround for people that were there. Verse 45, they saw what Jesus did and believed in him. You have not come to your wit's end. Hello? You have not. Jesus wants to use your challenges as a testimony to reach others. He wants to speak to somebody in your family. He wants to speak to somebody in your office. He needs a platform. He has seen your condition. You think all is lost. No. It's for not God's name to be glorified in your life. So that your condition can be a what? A springboard for others to say, yes, indeed there's a God in heaven. Praise the Lord. So please, don't let your condition overwhelm you that you will take your eyes off Jesus. There's a song that we all know very well. Trust and Obey is a song we know very well. Back then when I was in secondary school, we used to sing it then in my former church back then, Deeper Life. It was written by John H. Sammis. He says, when we trust in the Lord, when we put our trust in Jesus, when we trust in the light of his word, in the knowledge of his word, in the application of his word, because the light of God's word is the knowledge in his word, the application of that knowledge. He said, what a glory is shed on our ways. And if you look at verse 4 of this text, our text, he says, this sickness is not unto death, but for God's name to be glorified. Praise the Lord. So, what you are going through right now, please drop it at the feet of Jesus. Bring it now. He's asking me to tell somebody here that, look, it's not over for you. I want to start something with you. Please, look unto me. Look unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. The psalmist says in Psalm 121, he said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where does my help come from? It didn't say my help came from the economy of the United States of America. Or in that contract, or in that person I know, my connection. He said, my help cometh from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. The earth is the Lord's own. The fullness of the earth is his. All the people in the earth, they are God's own. So God can give you whoever he desires to give you. Nobody can question him. Praise the Lord. Because it's 4 days late, does not mean it's over for you. Because it is 25th of November 2018, does not mean it is over for you. Because it's 5 months to go. 5 weeks to go. It is not over. You'll be calculating, if you can, out of 15 things, you have just done 2 in 11 months. How can you do the remaining 13 in 5 weeks? Excuse me. Lazarus was rotting. He was dead. He has decayed. There was maggots in his body. His body is being eaten up by maggots. But what happened? He restored it in a day, less than a day. Jesus restored Lazarus back to life. And Jesus is going to restore you back if only you will believe in him. If only you will hold on to him. If only you will take your eyes off your challenges and look unto Jesus. I am telling somebody today in this place this morning that God can be trusted. People around you can say, ah, yeah, Jesus, you go to church. There's one woman that used to sell food for us around my site. They used to call the woman Yahweh Jesus. The woman has no husband. She's believing God. And all kind of men have been coming to her to ask her out, her hand in marriage. She turned them down. She said, she prays. People call her Yahweh Jesus. They make fun of her. That Jesus Christ come down and marry you. Look, Jesus, you know. But one day I engaged her in a conversation because I was just like, Yahweh Jesus, what's so special about this Yahweh Jesus? Let me even have a talk with her. And I did. When she told me everything, I said, madam, don't worry. Hold on. Hang in there. Our mates they've had children. They've gotten married. They've had their own children. But yes, she is. No husband. A child out of wedlock. Even the father of the child did not stay. But she said no. I will hold on to Jesus. I would rather remain unmarried than go and marry somebody without Jesus, without God's direction. I was touched by her faith. That is a strong faith. That is the kind of faith Jesus is looking for. I will tell us the story of a man who wanted to buy a property in an estate. At that time in that estate, they were selling a plot of land for $28 million. And this man could not afford $28 million. He went there and even tried to negotiate a deal. Maybe he can pay in installments. He said, no, it's outright. He couldn't afford it. 2 years after then, this same man came to that same estate. He bought a house in that estate at $115 million and he paid cash. 2 years after, he could not afford $28 million. After 2 years, he bought a house in that same estate and he paid outright $115 million. And he bought, and that time the property has now appreciated from $28 million to $45 million. The man bought 2 plots and a house and he paid outright. He did not pay in installments. Do you think your condition is worse than that? That of Lazarus? It's not over for you. It's not over for you. God can be trusted again. If people are making fun of you, they are mocking you. Just ignore whatever they are saying. It's not about what people are saying that matters. It's about what God is saying concerning your life. When people tell you, see your life, look at you, you are still here, at what age? What have you achieved? What can you show for it? Tell them that Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, for God taught to us means of good and not of evil, to give me an expected end. And it says in the book of Proverbs 23 verse 18, for surely there is an end. For my expectation as a believer, as a child of God, will not be cut short. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody this morning that you are about to cut short your belief in Christ Jesus? He's sending me to tell you this morning that don't. I have an expected end for you, a prepared end. I might not have showed up in January for you, neither in June, September, October, in November. November 1st to 24th. I can show up for you 25th of November. I can show up for you before this week runs out. I can show up for you in December. And I can show up for you. If you have 15 things on your list and you achieve 2 in 11 months, do the maths. If I achieve 11 things, 2 things in 11 months, how many things did I achieve? Well, do the calculation. 1 per month. 5 and a half months to achieve 1. So you'll be calculating that the next 5 and a half months, excuse me, Jesus does not work like that. He doesn't need your timing. He doesn't need your timing. Tell those people that are telling you that, all right, back here, I'm going to change gear. That business is not proper. Don't give up. Jesus can still come through for you. In closing, I will tell us a story of a neighbors of ours. And when we moved into our apartment in Badore, she has a child, but we didn't see her husband. So me and my wife, we got close to them, to her rather, and we became her friend. We invited her to church. She has come to church several times, and she was not going to church. She just, whenever she feels like, she just walk into a church. You know, and her husband, the father of her child, is a Muslim. So we became friends. So she moved out of our neighborhood. She moved out of our compound to another place. We still go there to visit her. And we got talking one day. I think one day she came to church after the service. I took her out. We got talking. And she opened up to me. She was crying, telling me about her husband. The guy's in South Africa. The child was about 6 months when the guy traveled out for greener pasture. And what people have said, the guy has now made money. He's living large. He has forgotten her. That was her thoughts. And the guy now bought her a car, a Benz, and the guy bought himself to a range. And people were like, say, people told her that he's trying to settle you and keep you in Nigeria. That for every Nigerian guy, there are 5 South African ladies waiting for the guy. That spoiled her mind. But we kept on believing. We told her that we should pray that the guy should come home, that she should talk to the guy, let him come home. At times when we go to visit, her, she'll be crying. She'll just close cover. When she sees us, she'll just try to hide it. But my wife says she's crying. I said, I know. I said, I know. We changed the prayer point. So I called her. We got talking and I said, we have to pray for your husband. We started praying. Eventually, she joined the church. We're happy for her. We encouraged her. She became a worker in that church. She started believing God, trusting God for everything. And one day, in my spirit, I just sensed that this lady is traveling out. She didn't tell me. I sensed it in my spirit. So I went to pick up my clothes from her shop. When I got there, that morning I was on my way to work. I just stopped by to pick up my clothes. She told me that she's going to meet her husband today. I said, God, thank you, Jesus. I said I sensed it in my spirit, but I didn't want to be too forward. What am I trying to say? Then I told her, see, when you get there, because I was in a hurry to work, I called her, I said, when you get there, don't fight your husband. I started lecturing her that, look, she said she has evidence of the things Parody has been doing on her phone, blah, blah, blah. She said, I said, madam, delete it. You don't need it. You have been praying for this. Your son is almost, is 2 months, 2 years and 5 months. So your husband has been gone for how long? And you're about to see him and you're prepared to go and fight that he has been doing. I said, no. But to cut the long story short, when she got there, she called me. She said, when the man met her at the airport, the guy started crying. He was crying, weeping. He has missed her. She said she was just shocked that she was prepared to go and fight him there. But once she met, the guy was like, she has missed. She and the son, how much she loved. That she couldn't believe that. People have even told her to move on, that this guy is living with other women, that she's going to marry, there's no future, and the circumstances in which they got married is not a real marriage. But she held on to one. She believed. We were praying together, praying for God for her. So what am I trying to say in essence is, people will tell you, you give up, it's over. Look at the challenges. Look at everything. The possible ways you can take, they are all blocked. But I'm telling somebody here this morning that God can be trusted over this matter again. The same way it came true for Mary and Martha, that Lazarus was risen back to life, God is going to come true for you. He's going to minister into your condition. Don't be so overwhelmed by what you are going through and forget that Jesus is standing right here before you. You are in the presence of God. See, then Jesus was around. Now, in the four corner of your room, you can just kneel down and start praying to God. He will answer you. He knows your heart desire. He knows your heart. He knows that need in your life. All you just need to do is just call upon him. Call unto Jesus. Call unto him right now. Call unto him right now. Bring it before him and begin to talk to him that, Lord, I am sorry. Heal my unbelief. Have mercy on me for my unbelief. I look unto you again, Jesus. I believe in your word that you will give me an expected end. I believe in your word that you will give me that my expectation will not be cut short. And I stand on the promise of your word. Because it says, when we trust in the Lord, in the light of his word, in the understanding and the application of his word, a glory will be shed on us. And the glory of God will be shed on your situation in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. I just want to give you praise for your privilege and opportunity you have given unto me to share your word this morning. Father, Lord, I know there is somebody you have sent me to share this word with. And I thank you for the person that has received your word this morning, because I know you will come true for them. Because your word is true. Your word is potent. It will not return back to you void, but in accomplishment of that which I have sent it to accomplish. And so shall it be for that person in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Let us put our hands together for Jesus. Let us thank the name of the Lord.